Hey birds! I just wanted to give you all a heads up. Listener and friend of the show, Teanos, is hosting a charity live stream November 10th on his Twitch channel. The charity is Special Effect, which helps improve the lives of disabled children by providing them with the technology to be able to play games with friends and family members. You can find out more on specialeffect.org.uk, and also tune into Teanos' live stream on November 10th to enjoy the shenanigans and help raise money for an awesome cause. That's twitch.tv/TarinIDC, or follow the links in the show notes below. Thank you. We are now, yes.
Woohoo! I'm broadcasting to you all live from Mall of America, because I'm that dedicated.
The world's largest mall?
It's the largest mall in the United States.
At least.
I believe. Yeah.
Possibly not Arabia, though.
No, not Arabia.
What if you the largest mall in the world?
I don't know, but I know this mall is big enough to have its own zip code, police force, and its own indoor amusement park.
So that was not a yawn on Fleeks' part. He's actually a ghost this week. He died.
Oh.
And we seanced him back.
Well, but I do not know that I died. Like, most ghosts don't know that they did. They just have to realize it.
Well, I'm telling you now. You're dead. You died. It was tragic.
Yeah, but I don't believe you because it's a ghost.
Do
ignorance.
You see the gaping knife wound in your chest?
I'm a ghost. I see that I may be transculant, but
well, the thing is I had to sacrifice you. I ran out of virgins, and you were the closest thing I had to a virgin.
Well, today
I appreciate you doing that, Cor. You know, he was getting a little squawky. And at least we can keep him around forever this way.
And mute him. And the largest mall in the world is apparently the Dubai Mall, which that doesn't surprise me at all. I just didn't know there was a mall in Dubai until now.
Yeah, they got all kinds of oil money over there.
Yeah, they will. I'm wondering what happens when they run out of oil, or I mean,
but
you know.
I'll tell you what's crazy about this Mall of America. They've got, it's so big, there are repeats of the same stores. So case in point, you'll have a T-Mobile store in level 1, T-Mobile store in level 3. You go across the mall, there's two more T-Mobile stores, and then there's a Best Buy, which also happens to sell cell phones. It's insane.
Well, here's something to amaze you as well. That mall isn't even in the top 10 largest malls in the world, according to Touropia.com.
Ooh, did I know that?
I mean that that shops repeat isn't really like surprising because even the small malls do have that. Like,
Come to find out, the Dubai Mall is only the fifth largest mall in the world.
What? What is the largest mall now?
The largest currently open mall is the Golden Resources Mall in China. And the New South Mall, which is still under construction, will beat that by approximately 0.46 million square feet. And that's going to be in Dongguan, China.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, no, that one opened in 2005.
Oh, my. But have you guys ever noticed some of these shop names just make no fucking sense?
Sorry, one more fun fact about the New South China Mall. Even though it's been open in 2005, it's remained largely empty and has gained the nickname the Ghost Mall.
Ooh.
Over 99% of the stores in the mall are vacant.
Okay.
That's just amazing. It's China. That place should be populated constantly. Like, if nothing else, turn the shops into apartments. Or something. Or a hospital.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
That would be super convenient to be able to go to the hospital, walk 1.5 million square feet over to the nearest McDonald's, and then walk across the street to the T-Mobile store. And then back into the hospital.
Fun fact for you, Cor, if you look up Castleton Square Mall, you'll see, I believe it's Castleton Square Mall, you'll see they actually built a condo complex directly attached to the mall for that reason.
No, it's not you unlike the grocery store with the apartments on top of, I mentioned last week.
Yeah, I mean, it's convenient.
This is Mallcast, episode 1. This is the podcast where we rate malls around the world and discuss only malls and shopping centers. Buckle up.
I don't understand how they name stores. Seriously.
I just understood. I just heard you saying it's the mole car, the mole cast, like moles.
mall, like
the mole cast.
Yes, totally the mole.
Yeah,
seriously, guys, the escape rooms clothing store, the Eagle Anime Company. If you had to guess, what do you think they sell at the Eagle Anime Company? Just guess.
Anime movies.
Makes sense. What about you, Fleeks? What do you think the Eagle Anime Company sells?
Energy drinks.
Fleeks, you're actually closer. They sell drinks and Pocky. That's all they sell. They sell no anime shit whatsoever. It's like, what the fuck? Why did you pick that name?
Okay.
Because it sounds Japanese.
They wanted to attract the weebs. Also,
oh my gosh.
If we were to open up our own mall, we would hire Paul Blart to be our mall cop.
Fuck yes.
I don't even know who that is because
it's from the movie Paul Blart, Mall Cop.
We would have nothing but Paul Blarts.
The mall cop movie with the one who did King of Queens.
Maybe I don't know. I never watched King of
Queens. Yes. Same actor, I believe.
So, fun fact. There is a podcast called the I think it's called Blartcast or something, and it's just a once a year podcast where three brothers sit down and they rewatch Mall Cop, and it's their commentary of Mall Cop, and they've done this since 2009, since it came out.
Why?
Because
that's some dedication right there.
Podcasting is an oversaturated market, and there isn't enough podcasts out there, or there is too many podcasts out there. I don't know.
But that just goes to show podcasting, there's a niche for everyone. There truly is.
Blartcast.
And, you know, you're just like your commentary about, you know, welcome to Mallcast. I guarantee you there's more podcasts about shopping malls. I guarantee it.
There probably is, yeah. And there's probably 100 episodes of it, too. Meanwhile, three of us can sit down each week and talk about absolutely nothing for 1 to 2 hours, and people still tune in and love us for it. And we love you guys for it.
Or either love us or hate us. I mean, I could also listen to a
out
podcast
of spite and angst.
Hating it like every week. What are they doing this week, those dumb nut jobs? And then you're listening to them and you're super angry and you're just listening to the podcast because you want to be angry. And they are like, oh, are they bad? Oh my God, they're so professional.
Basting in their own self-loathing.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a possibility. People get off on that, I'm sure.
Yeah, and they even make a Patreon donation.
Hey, it's simple as this. It's as simple as this. Bird.life is part of your mental health plan. Recommended by psychiatrists worldwide.
No,
we teach you the art of nothing.
That's satire. No psychiatrists, no doctors sue us, please.
The art of nothing sounds like something Buddhist would like do, like if you can empty your mind.
Or bell of some sort. Okay, anyways. Malls aside, this is part 2 of our spooky Oktoberfest thing. So I was trying to lead into with ghost malls, and we diverted again. That's okay. This is episode 46 of Bird Life. I'm Core.
I'm Fleeks.
And I am Storm Griffin, the mall cop.
No, he's Storm. Yeah, good enough.
Yay. So yeah, like you said, this is the second part of our that's our second Spooktober episode, because Halloween is near and we're talking about spooky stuff. I don't know what else. I think the title is very self-explanatory, and my grammar is scary. My pronunciation is scary.
It's terrifying. So what have you guys done to prepare for the oncoming apocalypse of pumpkins? Or what have you done to welcome the pumpkins into your life if you're Core?
Core, are you saying you're a pumpkin lover?
I am absolutely saying I'm a pumpkin lover.
So what, do you take the pumpkin guts out and rub it all over your feathers to get that nice pumpkin spice?
Why is everything fetishized with you? It doesn't go that far. I don't cut a hole into the pumpkin and then stick my penis in the pumpkin. It doesn't, no. Bad storm.
Okay, you don't stick your penis in it, but you sure do love to beak hump it.
But, honest to God, last week, I spent $25 on pumpkins. That may not sound like a whole lot of money, but we went to a pumpkin patch and picked out a whole bunch of pumpkins. So I am now the proud owner of at least a dozen pumpkins.
Oh, yeah, okay.
A dozen pumpkins for and $25? Only bucks? You got a good deal.
Right? You go to the patches, man. And only one of those pumpkins is carvable. The others are, like, decorative or interesting colors or that kind of thing. So, harvesty.
Oh, okay.
But we do plan on carving at least one.
You got to have the pumpkins to decorate around the nest, and that way when someone tries to have weapons to throw at them. So it works real well.
Indeed. What have you done to prepare for the season storm?
Okay, I have done what I do every year, in that I went down to the secret lower level of my nest. I took out my plastic pumpkin, dusted it off, and set it in front. Yes, and set it in my nest's window and plugged it in.
Just a single plastic pumpkin.
Exactly.
You haven't gone to any haunted houses or corn mazes?
Nope.
Or
nope.
God, you are boring. Oh, sorry, did I say that out loud?
I don't think you boneheads have a appreciation of just how crazy my work schedule can be at times.
You make time, sir. Make time to go
to the
corn maze.
I made time to go down to my lower level and get the plastic pumpkin. See, I care.
Well, you should take twice the money you're taking right now and work half the time. That would be a plan, right?
Fair enough.
Take twice the money and work half the time. Yeah. I like your idea, Fleeks. You should definitely run the government. I would totally go for that.
That requires him taking on twice the amount of clients, or halving the amount of clients and billing them twice as much.
I mean, he could also work faster two times, like double his speed.
Sometimes computers just don't work that way, you know? It's unfortunate. They have a limitation to how fast they can move. That being said, Fleeks, what have you done to prepare for the spooky season?
Actually, like I said last episode, Halloween isn't really a big thing in Germany.
No,
I mean, you feel it on TV.
Okay, what the heck then? Because like the spooky episodes were your idea to initiate with, but you have done nothing at all?
Well, I'm preparing for this episode, I guess. And I mean, I'm one of the few artists who doesn't even do, like, spooky icons or something, because I don't know. I don't feel the... what I want to say is I don't think I feel Halloween as much as you do, but I'm still interested in Halloween and scary stuff, and
I think relatively heartbreaking news to hear from my two co-hosts, people who I find very dear to my life, people who I trust a lot of my own personal information with, to find out that they are so brazen as to not even care about the best holiday of the year. Who are you people?
This is not the best holiday of the
this
year.
This is absolutely
the best
holiday.
I'll tell you what the best holiday of the year is right now. Best holiday of the year is a tie between Christmas Day, where you get all the gifts, and 4th of July in the U.S. because we get to blow shit up. That's the best holidays of the year.
I'll give you points for 4th of July, but get out. Christmas is overrated. It's just lots of spending money is really all it comes down to. Everybody's just spending money for the sake of spending money because we're that bored by that time of year. This is like all about festivities and cooking and being with friends and family. This is the new Christmas. This is when you spend time with friends and family because you guys are making things and baking and going out and partying and doing all of the fun stuff. So, like, for example, you know what I've already gone out and I have gone to a haunted house this year. Got the pumpkins, as I've mentioned. And I'm going to be going to a corn maze, I think, next week.
Okay.
Okay. You want to know what I look forward to on Halloween the most, Cor? Honestly.
The candy?
Partially. But the day after Halloween, I am at Walmart and CVS.
The candy.
Because at midnight, all of the candy goes 80% off.
This is true.
And I buy a shopping cart full.
Should I just, like, get you some insulin, like a care package full of insulin, so that when you go into diabetic coma overdose, like, you have an extra amount of insulin there ready for you? Hey, Storm, what was your favorite costume as a kid?
My favorite costume as a kid was when I was dressed up as a Ninja Turtle. I don't know why, but I have really positive memories from that. Truly. Just something, I really loved that movie.
Which Ninja Turtle? That's the important question.
That is a great question, and I'm ashamed to say at this very moment, I don't know.
Okay, we're going to assume for safety reasons that you chose Leonardo.
Raffaello.
No, what? Leonardo. You're the only good Ninja Turtle. No, shut up, Fleeks. You don't know shit about these turtles.
For some reasons, Raffaello always was my favorite turtle. I don't know, that was my kid and me, and I have no reasoning for that. He's the one with the red band, right? Yeah.
Beep at bird.life. Who's your favorite Ninja Turtle?
Yeah, next episode topic Ninja Turtles. Also, I like turtles.
Okay, Fleeks, even though it was past your era, did you ever go trick-or-treating, or like tell us about what that's kind of become in your country so far?
I actually was on a Halloween furry Halloween party it's like 5 years ago on a horse ranch from, it was like in a giant stable. And I was going as Two-Face from Batman. I made the costume myself. I painted my face, like one half of my face I painted black, the other one more or less white. And my shirt was also black. I took a white shirt and a black shirt, cut them in half, and sewed them together. My grandma sewed them together. And yeah, I couldn't do that with pants because I did not find a white pant. But I ripped one half of my pants apart for that. And it really looked cool.
Nice. Well done.
But as a kid, I mean, do you celebrate carnival in the US, like where you dress up earlier the year, or is Halloween your only dress up holiday?
Parts of the country celebrate carnival, but not the entire country.
What the heck is
carnival? That's a really huge thing in Germany called Fasching, and that's like a period of a week where people dress up as different things, like. That's practically our Halloween. Not spooky, but we're just practically partying.
Basically, Core, it's like what Fleeks is saying. It's just a big crazy ass party with parade and people dress up and just act silly.
Yeah, and it's really big in Cologne and stuff. And that's our huge thing here. And it's not only one day; it's like one week of parties until. It's a very religious thing, I assume, but it went very crazy.
Huh? That's totally. I've never heard of that before, so I'm gonna have to look that up.
Yeah,
Chicago does it. New Orleans does it. It's very big in like Brazil too. So it just, there's pockets of the country where it's done.
And one of our traditions is, for example, throwing candy. Like we say, depending on the how's it called, the state, like Bavaria. In Bavaria, we this throwing candy thing is a thing, and the one who throws the candy to the kids is like shouting "Radi Radi," and then the kids have to collect the as fast as possible all the candies, and that's when a lot of heads
it's like get a pinata together. Minus the pinata.
Yeah,
that's a little like the costumes points. Lack of pinata, you lose a few points.
I mean, plus when you think about it, Cor, we've got another time where people dress up in this country, and that's Mardi Gras.
True, but that's usually just masks and shiny beads and stuff. And that's limited to...
I mean,
that is very limited to California, Florida, and New Orleans.
We have a lot of traditional fushing games, too. I mean, do you know that game where you put a bar of chocolate in a newsletter paper and make a lot of
I thought he was going to say diaper and then microwave the diaper, and I was going to get after him that's a baby shower.
Oh, come on. No, and then
fleeks, you never know.
You have to wear really thick gloves, take a knife, a butter knife, and a fork, and then you have to cut through the paper until you got to the chocolate, and it needs ages to get through. And you're collaborating with all the other kids on that, and it's really a silly game. And then we also got, do you know those, how are they called in English? I don't even know. That's give me a second. Do you know a whippet cookie? Like
what?
Like that's kind of like a chocolate covered marshmallow.
Oh, okay.
But
so it's like a cookie version of a s'more.
I give you a picture of what I mean. That's a very traditional fushing candy. Give me a second.
You see, he said whip it, and I immediately jumped to, like, you know, the drug thing. Like,
okay, guys, Fleeks, I blame you for this. This conversation has to have this question now. What is the worst Halloween candy you can get?
Candy corn.
I don't know.
Candy corn.
Candy
corn.
God,
I hate candy corn. Not the circle. The candy corn circle, totally adorable. Love them to death. But candy corn, the actual candy... Fuck that. Oh, it's the worst. It's waxy and gross.
I like the consistency a lot. I only had it once, and it was like, oh my god, that's a good thing. But it's way too sweet. It's way too sweet.
But
I like candy corn, but the reason why I like candy corn is because you can get a bag of candy corn, and 10 years later, open it up and have some, and it tastes exactly the same as it would have tasted if you eaten it fresh.
That's because it's wax with sugar in it. That's all it is.
Well, my favorite candy, because I assume that would be the next... wait a second, cut it out. So the worst candy you can give me is like really like those old grandma chocolate, you know? Do you know those old neighbor ladies that always have chocolate for kids?
But it's always like Werther's. So are you thinking Werther's?
No. I'm thinking about generally. I don't know what you mean with that, but generally, those old ladies in the night. I mean, those old ladies in the neighborhood that like to give children candies, but you're not very excited as a kid because you know this chocolate is about probably like 3 years old and it was somewhere in their special sweets jar for years and it tastes like all chocolate. And also the Werther's Original, it's also well, thing here, but they're good always.
They're good, but yeah, I have old lady neighbors as a kid that would do just that, Fleeks. I know what you mean. I know what you mean entirely. But so, my worst candy that you can give me is almost anything with coconut in it, because I don't like coconut that much, but Almond Joys. For some reason, there's a special place in hell for Almond Joys for me, because I don't care what you do with it. It just tastes repulsive to me. I hate it.
I pretty much like this.
Okay, I've got a question for you really quickly here. Have you guys ever had these? If we're talking old lady candy.
Saltwater toffee?
Those are so old. Oh my God.
But they are the best.
Is it saltwater toffee?
No, it is not saltwater taffy. That is a hard candy that tastes like strawberry.
That's artificially flavored strawberry candy. And by those, you have to show an AARP card showing you're 87 years old minimum.
Yes. And the only way you can get them is if your grandma or grandpa gives them to you.
Pretty much.
Really?
Not really, but close enough by basic, the only way. Because as you see on the label, on their little plastic wrapper, there is no name, no label. I don't even know where to find these things. You look up a hard candy strawberry, nothing shows up. There's just the pictures of them show up, plenty of pictures of them, but no actual like source.
Oh, we have a pretty similar kind of candy here. I don't know how to... Give me a second.
I got two words for you.
I found them on Dollar Amazon. Store. I did find them on Dollar Amazon, store. Though, and they only sell them in minimum 5-pound quantities.
My local dollar we stores have something.
Do you know those? Those are also... I don't know where you can buy them, but that's a very...
I have no idea what those are.
What the hell is that? It looks like shredded paper in a bag.
They look like
wrapped Legos almost.
That's like those chewy stuff, you know, like toffee, but in little squares. And I don't know how to call them either. And you get them as kid, I got them at every single small store, because small stores were things back then. But yeah, they always gave it to the kids like. When they bought cigarettes for their parents, because it was still a thing that was more or less allowed when I was a kid. But yeah, nowadays.
Nameless taste, like nameless candies, but they're so very delicious. And so just to kind of wrap up this little segment here, I want to let you guys know, I just bought $30 worth of strawberry candy. So that is 5, 10, 15 pounds of strawberry candy on its way to me now. I'm excited.
You seriously? Yeah,
you only found it because you're getting old.
Core, the way you spend the bird life budget is amazing.
Let's establish really quickly here, because that sounds like you were using patron. No, we're not. This is my own hard earned money that I'm using to buy the strawberry candy.
I think our listeners are aware that this was a joke. But on the other hand, you have to send me one of those strawberry candies.
Okay, just another accumulation in the care package.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, that's going to be going out soon. I actually have most of the stuff, so if you want to add anything, let me know.
Okay, I want your tears in the package.
Let's circle back to costumes. I need it for a sacrifice. Really quickly, because we've gone off. We're going down the Christmas path. We need to divert and come back to Halloween.
We're talking about candy.
Well, I wanted to talk about candy now.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, candy. Let's talk about candy. My favorite candy.
I am not against candy guys, conversation. Continue.
I don't know if you guys know this, but I don't know if you guys know this, but my nest.
But I'm made of candy.
Totally. My nest is 10 minutes from a candy factory called the Albanese Candy Factory. Oh my gosh. You go in there, it's like they have a chocolate fountain. They have chocolate covered everything. They also have white chocolate. And if I've got to pick my favorite candy of all time, it would naturally be the big cup Reese's. But aside from that, anything covered in white chocolate just about is orgasmic to me.
Oh, I had to look it up, but I know these candies. Oh, these candies are delicious. Oh my God. I can't believe you live right next to the factory farm too.
Yep, I sure do.
They have pumpkin spice malt balls. God.
Yep, I saw them on their display 3 days ago when I went there.
Oh, I need these.
I can get you some.
All right, so just a pre-warning announcement. I will have diabetes by next week's episode.
Okay. Yeah, that's a goal to work to, you know, to work for. Yes. My favorite candy, by the way, is Jelly Bellies.
And saltwater toffees.
They're delicious, but they're expensive. That's what I never understood. They're like, okay, so you get like a half pound. That's going to run you close to $20 right there.
But if you're combining a buttered popcorn with strawberry jam, oh my God, those two flavors of Jelly Bellies. Oh my God, you're in heaven.
Actually, is a weirdly good combination that I've tried myself. I'm impressed, Fleece.
You got to sit there and wonder how they come up with some of their flavors.
Because they the jalapeno one. I don't understand it.
So one of our ex friends, and they're ex because of this, for my girlfriend's birthday, they got her a, what is it called? It's from Jelly Belly. It's like a spin the wheel, and you have a 50-50 chance of
Bean
this.
Boozled.
Bean Boozled. Yes, there you go. That is disgusting, and it was horrible. And the thing is the flavors in the Bean Boozled, even the good flavors, the ones that you hope to get, really aren't all that great. I ended up enjoying the grass flavor more than I liked the weird green apple flavor they had in there.
The grass flavor? Actually have, I shit you not, they've got like a barf flavor. It's like, what the fuck were you thinking?
Yeah. Well, no, here's where this comes from. Do you guys remember Bertie Bott's Every Flavor Beans from Harry Potter? They came out with that like back when Harry Potter, the first movie came out. They came out with these. And they've been producing these flavors ever since, but they only produced the Bertie Bott's flavored Every Flavored Beans for like 2 or 3 years and then stopped being popular. So they still have all these flavors and they're still manufacturing all these flavors. So now they're going crazy with them. There's just this weird like excess of terrible flavored beans because like the hyperbole died. Because they were so bad flavored.
Why is it people, especially Americans, want to torture themselves with candy?
Do you remember the booger flavored one?
That was notoriety.
That was so bad. And it was weirdly accurate, but so bad.
It's like, how the hell? You work as a food scientist and your boss comes to you and says, hey, you know what would be good? A booger flavored Jelly Belly.
God, I would pay to be in the room with that technician. When that came down from the boardroom, when that trickled down from the boardroom, I would pay to be sitting in a chair in that office when that guy's boss comes in and goes, okay, so we need you to make a dirt-flavored jelly bean, a grass-flavored jelly bean, booger-flavored jelly beans. Sir, please, I haven't seen my family in 3 years. Let me go. No. A blood-flavored jelly bean. Please, sir.
What scares me the most about is that this technician would have been able to know how boogers taste and how dog food tastes, because dog food is also...
Like, how did they come up with the grass flavor? Did some...
How did they know that the taste is accurate? That's what I'm asking. I'm questioning humanity.
it's a mystery, but I think they actually used lawn clippings in them.
They found... They found the one poor bastard in the office that goes digging for boulders, and they asked him to taste test. That's how they figured it out.
Okay, slight tangent from that, but there is actually professionality in tasting rocks. If you become a geologist, part of your job is licking rocks to identify them. Fun fact.
Have fun with all the mercury salt stones.
They usually can identify them by visual, but like sometimes you need to taste test. And I don't think mercury looks all that appetizing.
You can tell if a stone contains mercury. You can tell it if you look at it, I assume. But it doesn't look. It's not liquid in salt form, so I don't know. I wouldn't lick a stone. I don't know.
Well,
yeah, you don't know.
That's just it. A geologist knows what's
been on it.
Yeah.
So no.
God, my Amazon shopping cart is just filling up with so many candies. I found sour jelly pumpkins.
Alexa, add strawberry candy to the basket.
I do not have an Amazon Alexa. That would be a bad thing for me.
Someday in the future, Alexa will become sentient and
then just cry at me for hours on end. Why are you like this? Why? Why did I have to fall into your possession? Why?
I will be the sole responsibility for breaking the singularity.
You talked over each other. I did not understand a word.
Sorry. I just got an Amazon Alexa, and it's almost creepy how it's always listening and so easy to order things. I literally chirp at it every day, and it tells me weird things.
So
kind of like having a robot in your house.
Well, that's kind of what the whole artificial assistant is. It's exactly what it is, Storm.
My best memory of Halloween was when I got the trick or treat with my grandparents, my grandma, grandpa.
Well, I actually did my first trick or treat when I was because it isn't a thing in Germany, and that made it really funny because we decided. I think I was 18 or I was 17. Maybe I wasn't even an adult, but we decided to go out and get some candy. And
right on.
Trying it out, being a bit more American like that. And people were super confused, like, what is this? Is this a thing? And some were even grumpy, like, what is this? Is this thing from the TV? I don't know this. Don't, it's late. You know what I mean? Some people were grumpy, but others were really like, oh, nice, oh, that's a thing, oh, explain to me, what is this Halloween thing? I heard about it on TV, I did not know it happens here too. Hey, I have some candy, or I don't have candy, but here you have 5 euros. We got money, we got a lot of money on this day.
They gave you money?
Yeah,
that's
because
fantastic.
We might as well just be mugging them
at that point. Just approach their door, give me $5.
And we also throw around eggs because, I don't know, because we were idiots. And we saw that on Simpsons, I assume. but we are not proud of that. And I was a silly kid. So, hello?
Yeah, in my neighborhood, egg people's houses if they didn't have good candy, and it was a bit unfortunate. I didn't agree with it, but my neighbor had also had people that would give you the full-size candy bars typically, so the kids were a little bit spoiled.
I never had, I don't think I've ever had a truly good trick-or-treating experience. Not that any of them were necessarily bad, none of them were just super remarkable. Just as a kid, you'd go door-to-door trick-or-treating. And everybody who I would go to, we never had the neighbor who gave out the good stuff. It was all just grab bags kind of thing. It was still fun. We still got a lot of candy and a lot of good chocolates in there. And chocolate's always one of my favorites. But there was never the neighbor who gave out the whole giant Hershey's bars or the giant Kit Kats or anything like that.
Well,
I'm sorry to hear that, Cor. I actually had people that would drive over to my neighborhood that should...
You see, there were neighborhoods that people would say were worth driving to, but you wouldn't hear about them until the next day. So, Fleece, do we want to move on to the games, maybe?
Yeah, I have one game, and it's... So, let me start it. I want to play a little game with you. It's called...
Every time he says that, his voice gets a little bit more like Jigsaw. It's called. Have you noticed that?
It's called Black. I don't know. I mean, he does use technical devices to put his voice deeper, I assume. So I can't do that. But yeah, a game of Black Stories. That's a very popular game in Germany, and that's somehow not really a thing in the US. At least my co-hosts do not know it. So
yeah, we've never heard of it before prior to this.
And it's practically a game where you have cards. On one side of the card, there is a thing described that happened in very cryptic words. And on the back side, you can find what exactly happened. Was it suicide? Was it this? Was it that? Was it an accident? Was it a murder and thing? And then they have to reconstruct what exactly happened, like a detective, more or less.
Core. Yeah, Core, we're fucked.
Yeah, we really are. Okay. Yeah,
the
bring it on.
No.
Let's do this.
The scenario is a woman found money and was found dead a few hours afterwards.
Was it the mafia?
What did happen? No. So the secret...
was it a
so
snake?
No. No, it wasn't a snake.
Was the briefcase found at the bottom of the ocean?
A briefcase?
You said it was a briefcase full of money.
No, a woman found money and was found dead a few hours afterwards.
Oh, okay.
What did happen?
Was the money poisoned?
No.
Did she ingest the money?
Okay, a pro tip at first, yeah? The first question you should ask is, like, make it go in a certain direction. Like, for example, I send you a few tips.
Was she from the north?
Why do you ask that? That's not relevant.
You said direction.
I mean, start with something like I gave.
Okay, did her body fall to the left or to the right? Okay.
The first thing you want to know is the general thing, how she died. If it was like an accident, murder, or a suicide.
Was it a murder?
Ooh.
No.
How did she die?
No, Storm, no. I can only answer yes or no or irrelevant.
Okay. Was she very, very old? Oh, no, ghost storms.
The age doesn't matter, really.
Was it a natural
death?
A natural?
Was it a natural death?
No.
Was the money inside something?
Yes.
Did someone else take the money?
No.
Was the money wet?
No.
Was the money dry?
Yes.
Was there a murder weapon near her?
No.
Was there a murder weapon in her?
No.
Was she at home?
Yes, I assume, but it's not really relevant where she was. Where she was.
Was the money the cause of death?
No. Directly, at least. Not.
Were there other.
Did she die immediately after finding the money?
Not immediately.
Were there other people involved?
No, not in her death.
Did she have a heart attack?
No.
Did she win the lottery?
No. So
we need a hint.
Hmm? So ask me still about the bigger framework. So it wasn't murder. It wasn't a natural death. That's what we got so far. And the money was inside something. That's a very important thing you may focus on where it was. And you may focus on how she died. What the exactly caused, who murdered
what
her
is the
important.
Money in a safe?
Who not murder? No.
I see the route you're going with that one. Did she get locked in a safe? But no.
No.
Or a safe fell on her. Was the money in a heavy object?
That's very relative. Not really. Nothing that would, like...
Was the money within her normal reach?
What does it mean, exactly?
Was it within reach, or did she have to use a stepping stool?
Oh, that doesn't really matter, but yeah, normally it should be in her reaching. Yeah.
Was she afraid for her life?
No. No, absolutely not. That's a good hint. No, absolutely not. Focus on...
So it was a murder, it was an accident.
It wasn't an accident, it wasn't a murder. It wasn't a natural death. So...
It wasn't an accident, it wasn't a murder, and it wasn't a natural death.
Yeah.
So it's something medically related, I would think.
No, what else option do you have? It wasn't one of the three.
Well, what, she got so excited seeing the money, her heart blew up?
No.
Because that would be heart attack, and that's no.
It wasn't, no. She wasn't excited about the money, no.
I'm honestly stumped. I don't
absolutely
know.
Absolutely not. It was suicide.
It was that's suicide with the
yeah.
money?
Not with the money.
Was okay, because so the money was money. Left for someone else then?
Yes.
Okay. All right, well, what was the case then?
The money was another tip. Who owned the money?
The mafia.
No.
Her grandson.
No.
The former homeowner.
She did.
No. Yes, it was her money.
Well, fine.
Okay, so that's a good point. It was her money. She killed herself after finding the money, and it was inside something.
Was the money less than what she was expecting there to be?
No, it was exactly the amount she expected.
I'm so lost. It's not even funny.
So where did she find the money? I give you a tip. It was a public place.
In a bank?
No.
Post office?
No.
McDonald's?
Garbage can?
No. I give you another tip if you're totally stucking, but it was a public place where you're probably not going often, but I assume you're going there to how's it called? To land stuff? To not land stuff,
airport?
To wait a second, it was inside something that it was very specific for this place. But if I tell
suitcase.
You your
locker?
It wasn't a locker, it wasn't a suitcase.
Was not at an airport.
No. But it's a public place, but it also has closing times and
post office?
I already said no to that.
Okay, I give it a hint because you're we're just like questioning stuff. It was a library.
Okay, so she died in the library. Why?
No, she did not die in the library.
Oh my god.
She found the money in the library.
Okay, so she found the money in the library and killed herself. Why?
Yes, she found the money in a book.
But it was her money.
It was her money, yes.
That she left in the book years and years ago?
Yes.
So then why did she commit suicide?
Yeah, why would she commit suicide if she found money in a book? She left it in the book years ago, and it was still there.
Was some of the money missing?
No, absolutely not.
Was the money meant for someone else?
Yes.
Okay, so she gave the book to someone else with the money inside, intending to give them the money, and they did not accept the money.
No, she left it in the library. She put it there in the library. She did not target somebody specific. She just wanted to know something. So if you put $500 It was $500, by the way. If you put $500 in a book in a library, what would you expect to happen after when you open the book after a few years?
Someone would check out.
I have the money changed out for drugs.
No, it would disappear. Yes.
Yeah.
So, and why would you kill yourself if you find money? Why would she do that? Why would she put money in a book? What could she wanted to find out with that?
Where her child is? Or if her child's still alive?
No. Okay, okay.
Was she a spy?
No. But think about who could be the author of the book. Who could have been the author of the book?
Stephen King.
No.
R.L. Stein.
No. It's not somebody you know.
Jesus.
No. So I think, yeah, I will really tell you what exactly the solution is. The woman was a book author.
And no one checked out her book, so she killed herself.
Exactly.
Okay.
So yeah, she managed to publish one of her books. She considered it herself as a masterpiece. She was really proud of her work. But it did not really have any success. Nobody really bought it. And one day, she decided to hide a $500 bill in the book, in one of her books that was in the library, to see if anybody, even anybody reads her book, if anybody's interested in what she did in her work, in her life work, yeah? A few years later, she came back and found the bill still in the books, and that depressed her so much that she attempted suicide afterwards.
Attempted and succeeded then.
Yeah, she succeeded. She killed herself. Because she was so depressed.
Okay.
Alright. First question comes from Soul Ember. Question is, what's the first urban legend you heard of? What scares you the most? And what do you think could actually be real? Ooh, some very juicy questions there.
Okay. So it's something we kind of touched on last week. There's a lot of Native American spirits that I don't know if they're really spirits, but folklore tales that I have a lot of respect for and fear for, and Storm just disappeared.
I think urban legends, by the way, I think urban legends are the modern ones. It's not really mystical, but more about...
But the latter part of the question did ask, what ones did you believe in kind of thing.
Yeah. But I mean, it's a more or less squirrel stuff that... Like murders that never happened.
Did you just say murder squirrel?
Murder squirrel, yeah. Murder
That's
squirrel.
Terrifying. That's the urban legend I never want to encounter. Not the murder squirrel. Please never take me to the murder squirrel.
Yeah, that could be. We could bring on the murder squirrel urban legend.
Oh God.
Yeah, there is an urban legend about a murder squirrel that actually is. I can come up with stuff like that.
I don't know of too many urban, modern urban legends that are really dating any closer to chupacabras and the Jersey Devil. At my work, we do have the urban legend of the chupacabra, which I think I mentioned early in the Bird Life series. I remember I was at work, and it was probably about 1 a.m. when I first heard this call come over the radio, and it was one of the truck drivers, the dump truck drivers, and he says, "Hey, production control, I see this, it looks like a mangy coyote, but it's standing on its back legs, and I've never seen this thing before. Do we want to call animal control?" And production control, the kind of oversee all of the mine itself and make these kind of calls. They say, no, it's probably just exactly what you see. It's just a mangy coyote. It's fine. Don't worry about it. And he goes, well, it's standing on its back legs and it's looking right at me. And it's not like it's injured. It's just standing there. And a few minutes later, he comes on and says, "Okay, I'm going to try to take a picture of this thing." And production control comes on and says, "Okay, don't get out of your vehicle. Just try to drive up and get close to it." And goes, "Okay, I'll do that." So allegedly, he got some pictures of it. And that's kind of when these rumors started. There was a chupacabra running around the mine that I work at. A few hours later in the evening, another truck driver in the same area gets on the radio and says, "Production control, there's something out here, and it sounds like what that guy was describing earlier. It looks like it's a coyote of some sort, but it's standing on its back legs, and I don't know, it doesn't look like a coyote, but that's the closest thing that it does look like. I've never seen anything like what this thing is before. I think we should definitely call animal control and get them out here as soon as possible." So production control goes, "Guys, stop. This isn't funny." And the guy comes back on and goes, "No, I'm serious. Call animal control. This thing isn't normal." So they do. They call animal control, who doesn't come out there until like 6 in the morning. And they kind of scout over the entire mine area where they were at. They didn't find anything. But the first guy, he did get pictures of whatever this was. And I've been trying to get a hold of production control and visit them and see if they will share those pictures with me, because that's pretty incredible.
Hmm. So yeah, maybe it was a sick wild animal or something, but yeah.
Well, can you think of anything that looks like a coyote but stands on its back legs?
A coyote that stands on its back legs.
Why would a coyote be standing on its back legs?
Maybe a lost fursuit.
Wasn't that big.
He was looking for AC, but he got lost in the woods. And since then, he walks through the woods, crying for help. His fursuit mask is already like growing, like glued to his face because he wore it so long because it was cold and he couldn't put it off because it was so cold. And now it's
oh,
like,
oh god, now we're getting all the Five Nights at Freddy's.
And now it's fused to his skin and he wants help and he goes to people, but he can't really talk in the first because it's muffled, like, you know, and people are scared and run away and he just wants help. Meanwhile, he got really feral because he eats the wild animals there and pine cones in the woods, you know.
So I've sent pictures of mock-ups of what the chupacabra looks like, but I'd say it is actually fairly well described with synchronicity across all three. This bipedal thing that looks kind of like a
bat.
Yeah, it does have a bat face in a couple of them. But, I mean, in the dark, in a distance, you could totally see this as being a coyote standing on its back legs. A mangy coyote. So how else would you quickly and easily describe what this thing is?
I don't know. Yeah, there's one urban legend. Probably everybody of you knows that it's also very legend, but I just I heard it in multiple versions. That's like it's placed like one day before Christmas. Yeah, family is sitting around their how's it called? Sorry. The fireplace in the living room. How's it called? The fireplace, indoor fireplace. How it's called?
The indoor fireplace.
Oh, okay. But they're sitting in front of the indoor fireplace, and suddenly they start to smell like a very strange smell that kind of very sweet, Swedish burnt, you know. And they couldn't find out what it is, so they looked around if there's something else burning in their house, yeah, like maybe right. Some of the cables, a cable burn or something, you know what I mean. But they couldn't find something, so they panicked a bit. So they got to the neighbor, and the neighbor was like, yeah, you're in the indoor fireplace is burning. Maybe there's like something living got into the how is it called? Into the chimney, and that they should get the chimney sweeper. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, and then they did that, and the next day this chimney sweeper looked into the chimney and was like screaming and, oh my god, what the fuck? And yeah, there was actually a guy in there.
Okay.
In a Santa Claus costume, halfly burned and stuff. And the thing was, the father of the family suddenly disappeared a year ago. And what he wanted to do is surprising the family by coming through the chimney. But he got stuck and died in there.
Okay, so one tragic story.
That's an urban legend.
No, that's not an urban legend. That actually is a story that occurred years ago, and it is passed down. An urban legend is something that is relatively regional and cannot be explained. So, for example, the Chupacabra, which is very regional to Western United States and Mexico. I mean, it's a Spanish word for goat eater. Or the Jersey Devil, which is something that's very regional to New Jersey. But these are creatures which their existence cannot be proven, but there are accounts of them being witnessed or something. That's an urban legend. Okay. What yours is just a tragic story.
Yeah, but my source did say that it didn't exactly happen like that, that it was like over-exaggerated, that it wasn't a career, it wasn't
so that it's been told time and time again, and it's been
Santa
manipulated,
Claus.
And it was
it
someone coming home from the military,
Santa Claus, actually.
Or, yeah.
It wasn't actually Santa Claus, it was a burglar who wanted to enter the house through the chimney in 1985. That people based it around that and made a...
So that's something that actually happened, so it's not a legend, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But it's been passed on time and time again.
Yeah, but in my understanding of urban legend, it's like things that could happen in real life, but it never happened. It is just like a bizarre thing that people like to kind of invent and spread, or it is kind of based on true things, but not really what happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah.
Okay, so Storm, can you hear us? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, awesome. Have you ever heard of the Jersey Devil?
Nope.
Not at all. Okay, well, I was going to see if maybe you had a little bit more knowledge that you could share on it. Do you have any monsters or stories of monsters in your area?
In my area, we've heard of the Chupacabra. It's mainly from, obviously, the Southwest, but oddly enough, since we have a large Hispanic population, they have claimed to have a couple of sightings up by me as well. How much of that is true? Obviously, we can never scientifically prove, but yes, I do believe there might be some weight to the Chupacabra.
Okay, but are there any urban legends in your area that are maybe a little more unique than that you want to share?
No.
Super. Okay.
Yeah, what was that? What was this, you guys? I heard something about a Ouija board.
Yeah, so Fleeks was saying he was playing with a Ouija board, and I told him never do that again and to burn it.
Yeah, and I said that it's mostly just in the circle, one of the friends is just trolling the others, at least one of them. Because
catch with the Ouija board, but the fact is that they're kind of used as a portal between...
I don't believe in that stuff, you know.
Yeah, but they still sell them as a children's game, as funny as that is, especially in the less religious areas. But yes, it can be used as a portal device, or it can be used literally as just a stupid game where...
Okay. Just a second, sorry.
It's all in how you use it.
Just a second. I just imagine that the commercials for it learn spelling with a Ouija board.
Oh, jeez.
Educational. Let the spirits educate you.
So I don't know if you guys have you ever seen the Paranormal Activity series at all?
Only the first show, and I decided it was kinda not my thing.
Okay.
Full of shit.
So yes. Quick rundown. First one, I enjoyed the hell out of. Second, third, fourth, shit. Fifth one, brought it back. I actually really enjoyed the fifth one. There is a scene in the fifth one, though, where the kids are trying to communicate with this ghost through a Ouija board, and the grandma walks in, abuela, she walks in, and she rips the Ouija board from them and burns it. But the spirit that they contacted is now here and with them, so it's trying to find other ways to continue communicating and continue messing with these kids. And one scene, it is doing it through a Simon Says toy, and it's fucking hilarious because they're sitting there, they're all sitting around this Simon Says, trying to kind of decode and translate what it says. And the abuela walks back into the room, and she just goes, "Dios mío," and like walks out of the room just petrified. And I think she actually took the Simon Says toy with her as well and tried to burn it too.
Yeah, they just burn things if they are possessed or if they do scary things.
Exactly, like Furbies.
Yeah, burn all the Furbies.
Burn them all.
The
Furbies!
That's all I can remember from the Furby I possessed. Like it did this noise all the time.
Oh, creepy.
Oh, God. So are you guys?
Oh my god! Oh my god! Sorry. Furby.
Hang on, Fleeks. He's trying to storm. What'd you say?
He wanted to go on to the next question.
Are you guys ready for the next question?
Yes.
Yeah. And hold on, because actually, Furby, because he brought me to that. I had a Furby as I was a kid because I needed that. It was that toy everybody had, you know. And one day, it suddenly started to glitch, a freak out and glitch, like make noises, you know, like super, it super got wild, and I was super scared as a kid, and that was really a thing when I was scared.
Your Furby got like possessed, congratulations. Yeah. You have had a paranormal encounter in your life.
Oh my god. Yeah, probably. It was so freaking creepy.
Wait, what? Hmm? One day, Fleeks is going to wake up and his bed's floating, and shit around his room's been rearranged, and he's just gonna go and say, "Damn, those ghosts are very efficient Germans."
Likely.
If they did a good job, I would also leave them tips, whatever ghosts.
You're gonna tip the freaking ghost! Oh my god.
If they rearrange my room and they like it afterwards.
You can't use your money.
Yeah, I don't know, ghost money.
What the hell are they going to do? Go to the ghost pizza palace, get themselves some deep dish? What the hell are they going to do?
A ghost cake.
Oh my gosh, please.
Like the one in Undertale you can find in Napster Bluke's fridge, like something like that.
Oh god.
Listen to spooky tracks.
Okay, so you guys ready for the final question of the night?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The final question of the night is from Eclipse Griffin. The question is, what is a good movie to watch to get me in the Halloween spirit?
Definitely Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, that's very similar to last week. I don't know, classical things like Nightmare Before Christmas, or watch the Simpson Halloween episodes, or...
Ooh, I concur. I concur passionately on the Simpsons. Absolutely. Good choice.
Yeah, Goosebump episodes. Goosebumps, it's really badly produced, we have to say that.
Movie or the shows?
The shows. Okay. The shows.
I was going to say, they're really badly produced.
And very cheesy.
What about the books? They had Goosebump books too that were pretty good.
Those don't count. No, those totally count. Those were really good.
Those are really good. I enjoyed them as a kid, especially the one with the mirror that made the kids invisible. Oh my god, it was so creepy. Yeah, it sucked them in and replaced them. Oh my god, how
I remember
how
that
weird
one.
Is that? It sucked them in and replaced them with
really
the mirror image.
Come on, Stephen King, catch up.
Oh, God.
Stephen King movies are always
good. If you really want to... Yeah. If you really want to get the shit scared out of you, at least for me, and I don't like scary movies in general, but the ones that really did me in on Halloween was like the Blair Witch Project, just because of the music and the way they filmed it. It was very intense.
You see, okay, so I never saw the Blair Witch Project when it first came out as in like the 90s. So I don't have that experience to draw from of the initial release of the initial Panic and Terror. I watched it last year about 2 weeks before Blair came out, the sequel. The entire movie I felt was just like, and this is just me because, again, I didn't get the experience. I felt it was really boring and pretty much just kids wandering through the woods complaining about being lost. Yeah, it was creepy that the witch got them trapped in this little bubble of a world that loops in on itself. And yeah, it was like the ending itself was creepy, but everything up until then was just them arguing and then being freaked out every morning until the morning stopped coming.
I think what you can give that movie is that it was the first commercially successful shaky cam movie, yeah, practically. And that it was really like, it felt innovative, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
but yeah, I was gonna go on to say that the new Blair movie, the movie that came out, Blair, I thought was actually really well done. Very well done.
Is it a new one?
Because yes, it's a sequel to it. It's family members of the original people who went out are continuing to try to search for the lost ones.
Do you know that there is a Blair Witch Project 2, actually, that came out like 10 years ago?
We don't talk about that.
Yeah.
Please
don't do
that.
No.
Don't talk about
that. I was wondering. Blair Witch Project 2.
Yeah, Blair Witch 2 or whatever they were trying to do. It was horrible. It, like, Birdemic probably was a better movie.
Fleeks will agree with me. Birdemic was an excellent film, and all birds should watch it, especially
it
when
wasn't.
Alcohol is involved.
No, don't listen to them. If you value,
there's a good Halloween movie. Hey, that's a great Halloween movie. Yeah, absolutely. After you're at the party and going on, put on some Birdemic.
If you value 2 hours of your time, you can spend it doing laundry and have a greater feeling of accomplishment in life.
I mean, Birdemic 2 is a movie that shouldn't be missed on any trash movie evening, because it's the trash movie. I can't even tell. It's so bad that it gets entertaining, because you're kind of watching it in disbelief.
It's so bad, like, that CinemaSins still did an episode where they took on Birdemic and tried to do a serious job, and just the bits and pieces that they did in the CinemaSins episode were terrible. I could barely make it through that one, let alone the whole movie.
Yeah, but we made it through the whole movie, and
you two made it through the whole movie. I checked out like within the first
dying.
Half hour.
I think
I
that makes us
dying. It was funny to me. I was laughing my ass off. Fleeks was falling out of his chair. It was great.
We are either dead inside or very badass.
Self masochistic.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yes, totally.
But I still need to see Birdemic 2, and I have hopes for the movie.
Yes, Fleeks, we need to have a bird
no,
life viewing.
No, we don't.
Party, totally.
Nope. We're going to cut this episode off. Thank you so much for joining us. Feel free to catch us on iTunes, Google Play Music, Spotify, wherever you catch your podcasts from. You can always support the show and support Bird Crew via Patreon, Bird Life Podcast on Patreon. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm sorry, and always be beeping.
Always be beeping.
Always be beeping. I wanted to be the last one for one.
Nope. No bloopers this week. No, no, seriously, there are none. You can turn off the podcast now. It's okay. Or you can stay tuned and listen to 2.5 minutes of The Seagull. Enjoy.